This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. March Champion learned to dance from her father, a ballet teacher who also taught Shirley Temple, Sid Charisse, and Gwen Verdon. As a girl, Champion was the live-action model for the hippopotamus in Fantasia and for Snow White in the Disney animated film Snow White, which will be released on DVD in just a few weeks. March Champion became famous when she formed a dance team with her husband, Gower Champion. In the 40s and 50s, they danced in such movie musicals as Till the Clouds Roll By, Showboat, and Lovely to Look At. They had their own TV show in the late 50s. Earlier this year, March Champion danced in the Broadway revival of Stephen Sondheim's Follies. I asked her how she enjoyed dancing on Broadway in her early 80s.
Well, it was probably the biggest learning experience I've had in my entire life. Because dancing in an older body, if you're going to continue and feel that you're doing the very smoothest best you can, it's a whole different experience. And I had to have a couple of sprained hamstring, and the other was a massive back spasm, and I have never had either one of those before in my lifetime of dancing.
So what are some of the things you feel you learned?
I learned to be much more patient with myself. I learned that I needed to warm up very slowly. I learned that I had to get to the theater an hour before anybody else did.
There's a dance that you did in Follies with Donald Sandler called Danse d'Amour. And I want to read something that Nancy Franklin in The New Yorker wrote about this. And I should explain that you're dancing and then a couple that represents your younger counterparts are dancing too.
Our ghosts.
Yeah.
These are our darling ghosts.
Mm-hmm, and they're shadowing your moves. So Nancy Franklin writes, the older couple, which is you and Donald Sandler, the older couple make gravity work in their favor. They dance together as two human beings, not as two perfect but easily replaceable instruments. Champion and Sadler, both of whom are in the ballpark of 80, are radiant. There's something in their eyes that is missing from the youths behind them. When the young man carries his partner off the stage on his shoulder, it's about firm muscles. When Champion and Sadler glide off the dance floor, his arm wrapped around her, the counterpoint is deeply moving. He can't carry her off the stage, but he doesn't need to. Their movement expresses their love and support for each other. It's the most romantic moment in the show. I'm wondering if you felt more frustration or pleasure when you were doing the number. Frustration at the limitations of your body or pleasure at what your body was able to do in spite of the fact that you're in your 80s?
I think it's a combination of both. I don't waste much time in regretting anything because I have been I've had an extraordinary life. And it's kind of fun to know that you still can make a dramatic point even though you may not be able to do the lifts and spins. And there's something of both.
You started dancing when you were very young. Your father, Ernest Belcher, was the founder of the University of the Dance. And his students...
Well, that was his press agent's title. I don't think he ever got any degree.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Heading a university.
Okay. But he had a well-known dancing school.
He certainly did, and he created many, many top dancers and many, many top teachers.
And I think among the people he trained were the young Gwen Verdon and the young Shirley Temple.
Well, they were in the school from time to time. That's absolutely true. And I assisted him. You know, there was a big depression at that time. And he could no longer, which was very lucky for me. I was only about 11 or 12, 32, 33, and 13. And he needed to have assistance, and especially when we went to Shirley's house, because... He would sit at the piano and teach her and play for her, and I would demonstrate. So I also had to go through the teacher's courses about, I think I must have gone through They were in the summertime in California. They were a month long, and I think I started when I was about 11.
As a child, you were the live-action model for the animated Disney movie Snow White and for the dancing hippo in Disney's Fantasia. What exactly was required of you?
A couple of days a month. I would, when I was 14, when I was 15, when I was 16, I went to the studio, and they would show me storyboards. And they would play, in the case of Snow White, the voice of Adriana Caselotti, if it were a number. And they would show me the storyboards and say, well, and they had very crude, there was 16 millimeter, very hot light, so that everything stood out very strongly, you know, almost in silhouette sometimes, especially when Snow White was running through the forest or doing anything of that nature. Now, naturally, I was 14 or 15 years old. It took 2 years to actually do all the animation that I was connected with. And I made it up. You know, I was a dancer. I was not an actress at that time, although I was studying acting in Hollywood High School. And I got out of high school 2 days a month, and I got the magnificent sum of $10 a day. And I really, you know, it was almost like extended play for me.
So in part, you were responsible for the choreography, but I imagine the animators were also looking at your anatomy when you danced or moved in a certain way so that they could draw it correctly.
And, well, in some cases, as in part of Fantasia, where Louis Hightower, he was a student in my father's school and my partner at that time, we danced as the alligator and the hippo and whirled around and all of that. In some cases, they asked us to wear bathing suits, which we did. And
so they could see more of you anatomically?
Yes. And that was the purpose of a great deal of it, even though they translated me to this hilarious hippopotamus with a little ballet skirt, you know. But even after Snow White, in 1937, Snow White was released, and I was not allowed to have any publicity because they said that the public would misunderstand. They would think that they traced me. And frankly, in a sense, they did, but they would blow up. It was called rotoscoping. They would blow up every frame of the 16 millimeter film that they had taken of me, but then the animators would be selective about whether they used it as a guide for their action, whether they needed to have it because the skirt flowed after. You know, there are all kinds of things that animators, you know, are not. They're not acquainted with little girls like Snow White. And so they needed something. They also had other models. There was another young man who played the Wicked Witch. And his name was Paul Godkin. And he was also a student at my dad's school.
It's interesting that they got a man to be the model for the Wicked Witch.
Well, he was quite remarkable. And I later danced with him in a show called Beggar's Holiday, which was the Duke Ellington version of Threepenny Opera. And he was slender. He could stand in one place and just without even seeming to prepare, he could do a double air tour. He was very lithe, and he had a rather large nose, and so he was not appropriate for the usual romantic things. And he also he became a choreographer himself, and later on in his life, when he stopped dancing, he became a caterer. And we used to, I'd have him come over and cater a dinner or something, and we'd dance around the kitchen because he couldn't keep me out of the kitchen. And we'd have a wonderful time.
Well, one more thing on the subject of Snow White and Fantasia. Did you recognize yourself when you watched these animated films?
Oh, yes. Especially Snow White, because they showed me pictures of the original drawings of Snow White, and she had kind of round Betty Boop kind of with a very exaggerated eyelashes, eyes, and she had a very tiny waist like the cartoon ladies of that time did. And by the time I saw the finished product, she had almond eyes like mine, you know, they're almond eyes and very dark. And she also had a much more human waist. And
you mean less thin or what?
No, yes, less thin. Uh-huh. I mean, it was more like a person, a girl. And I think that part of that, I know it was after I came on the scene, so they must have thought maybe that she was too cartoonish before they started to animate Snow White. They had done a great deal of work on the film before I came on.
My guest is dancer Marge Champion. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. Dancer Marge Champion is my guest. Some of the movies that you and Gower Champion danced in include Jupiter's Darling, Three for the Show, Give a Girl a Break, Everything I Have is Yours, Lovely to Look At, and Showboat. Let's talk a little bit about how dance was filmed in Hollywood in the 50s. One difference between now and then is that, first of all, you more often than not see the whole body dancing. You're not just looking at the feet or just looking at the torso. You're seeing the whole body, and the takes are so much longer. There isn't like 17 edits in a dance sequence. And, you know, I mean, you just see uninterrupted movement, and then maybe there's an edit. Talk a little bit about how the sequences were filmed and what the language of the day was.
First of all, you had a big rehearsal hall, especially if it was a big number like Smoke Gets in Your Eyes. There were only two people in it, but we had the biggest soundstage at MGM to film that.
This was in the movie Lovely to Look At.
Right. And you had a month to rehearse. And every single thing would be thought out from the viewpoint of not only the camera and what angle you wanted, but also the editor. You had to do what they called a master shot with the pre-recorded music. And then sometimes it took 2 days to film these things. In that case, it was Hermes Pan, who of course was the great sidekick of Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers. In fact, he's the only one who's got 2 Academy Awards, because after that they eliminated choreography from the Academy Awards departments. Anyway, it took a long time to rehearse, and we would rehearse really from about 9 to 6 days a week. If you were shooting, you shot 6 days a week.
Were you always aware where the camera was?
Yes, because the editor would come down to the rehearsal hall and would watch very carefully. In that case, it was a woman, one of the first and only women to be an editor, Adrienne Fazan. And she was extraordinary. And she would come down from her little cubbyhole, wherever that was, and to the rehearsal hall, watch the performance that we did for her, and then suggest maybe that she would need more of an overlap on this take or less of one on that take, whatever it was. It was a very ensemble, collaborative kind of effort between Hermes Pan, he shot it. Mervyn LeRoy was the director of that movie, but he felt that he was not equipped because he was used to doing Edward G. Robinson pictures and things like that. And he thought he was not equipped to shoot the numbers, so he would always put Hermes on the boom.
You did a lot of dancing in heels.
Very, very low ones.
But still there were heels. Many of us would find it difficult enough to walk in heels, let alone to dance and come down from lifts in heels. Was that ever a problem for you?
Yes. It was always a problem, and that's why in clubs I very often didn't. I wore what they called Hermes sandals and made those pretty popular. But they were never more than an inch and a half, because I, in the New York theater, when I was there I had fractured both of my big toes at various times, at two different times, I should say. And so it was always a problem for me to wear heels. In movies, I could do it because you rested a long time between takes in those days. You didn't have, you know, this handheld cameras that can take you in the dark or the light or anything else. You rested a long time. You spent more time waiting than you actually did performing before the camera while they changed all the lights and the camera angles and things like that.
I want to skip ahead a little bit. Your first husband, Gower Champion, died in 1980, just hours before the opening of his last musical, 42nd Street. 9 months later, your second husband died on location in a helicopter accident. He was a director. And 6 years after that, your younger son, Blake, died in a car crash. How were you able to go on after all of those losses in such a short period of time?
It was not easy. It really was not easy, and I think you either get a lot of help and you start really relying on yourself through that help. I went through two very deep depressive periods, clinically depressive, found out a lot about myself that I had probably ignored my entire life. And you either become a drunk or obsessive about birds or something, or you pick yourself up and find what you're supposed to do now. And it's not easy. And
what got you back?
I think as much as anything else, I had always been what I thought of as an assistant. I was my father's assistant. I had to find out if I, you know, could exist even in a world without a man. I had always been, Gower is the captain and I'm the first mate. And I really believed that. And I think it may have held the marriage together for a lot longer than it would have, because I did have directorial and choreographic talents that I hadn't even explored because of the father, daughter, husband, wife continuing. In a sense, I must have married a version of my father. And when that was over, and it was over actually in 73 because that's when we divorced, I went right in, well, I shouldn't say right in, it was 3.5 years later, into a marriage with another director, an absolutely enchanting man who had 5 children.
So did you feel that when you came out of your depression that somehow you became more of your own person and you weren't the number two anymore? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. I had the qualities of being a partner and also being, let's say, what we call in the show business, a first banana.
Right. Are you in a relationship now?
No. Haven't been for many a year. But I also have found that friends and family are probably your base.
March Champion, thank you so much for talking with us.
Well, thank you for asking me.
March Champion recently danced in the Broadway revival of Stephen Sondheim's Follies. She was the live-action model for Snow White in the Disney animated film. It will be released on DVD in a few weeks. This is Fresh Air.